quick reminder that this season deals with grown-up topics. Hear it alone first before playing it for your kids. Okay, now on to episode 2 called This One's a Steal. This is Rendition, a mix of short stories and jokes you can retell to your friends. Each week, you'll hear two or three popular tales based around a common and timeless theme. Because history may not always repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme. Some things just go perfect together. For example, peanut butter and jelly. How about summer and mojitos? Or crime and punishment? When it comes to crime and punishment, every culture has their own way of teaching their children that karma is a real thing. In Latin culture, we use stories, and sometimes even our songs teach us lessons. Growing up, I remember my dad playing an old song by Rubén Blades. He's the salsa singer that later became a Hollywood actor. The song is called Pedro Navaja, after its main character, which translates into Peter the Blade. It's the story of a criminal who roams the streets looking for people to rob, and it takes place in New York City. The thief got his name because he uses a knife to scare, or even murder, his victims before stealing their cash. The story in the song tells us how, on a certain day, Pedro Navaja is looking for his next score, and the streets are empty, except for a young lady across the street. The young lady happens to be a prostitute who's had a rough day at work. He knows she's an easy target, so he crosses the street. And at the same time, the woman is transferring from her coat to her purse a gun that she keeps for safety, a .38 caliber Smith & Wesson. As she's about to put the gun in her purse, Pedro Navaja jumps at her, stabbing her with his knife. And when the knife is twisting, a shot is heard. With her last bit of life, the prostitute shot Pedro, and down he goes, dying as well. Poetic justice. This song concept isn't totally original. Rubén Blades had inspiration. It's based on a popular American song called Mac the Knife. Pearly white, just a jackknife has old Maggie, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that sharp bite with his teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread. But I want to bring your attention back to the Spanish song. The song's story has a resolution that ties together the theme we'll talk about today. In the song, after Pedro and the prostitute kill each other, no one rushes over to help. No one even asks any questions. I guess it's par for the course in New York City. That's what the singer says. Everyone just goes about their business. Except for a drunk guy who stumbles into the bodies. The drunk bum takes the knife, the gun, and the money. And as he's stumbling away, you hear him say what I played for you in that clip. He says, "Life brings you surprises." And then the singer says, "He who lives by the gun dies by the gun." That's our theme for this episode, how crime has a way of correcting itself in surprising ways, especially when it comes to stealing. I want to start things off with a short little joke about the mafia called Vinny and the Godfather. A mafia godfather finds out that his bookkeeper of 20 years, Vinny, has cheated him out of $10 million. Vinny is deaf, which is actually why he got the job in the first place. See, the godfather assumed that since Vinny could not hear anything, he could never testify in court. When the godfather goes to confront Vinny about his missing $10 million, he takes along his personal lawyer because he knows sign language. The godfather tells the lawyer, "Ask him where the money is." The lawyer, using sign language, asks Vinny, "Where's the money?" Vinny signs back, "I don't know what you're talking about." The lawyer tells the godfather, "Hey, he says he doesn't know what you're talking about." The godfather, mad, pulls out a pistol, puts it to Vinny's head, and says, "Ask him again, or I'll kill him." The lawyer signs to Vinny, "He'll kill you if you don't tell him." Vinny's now trembling, and signs back, "Okay, you win. The money is in a brown briefcase, buried behind the shed at my cousin Bruno's house." The godfather asks the lawyer, "What did he say?" The lawyer replies, "He says you don't have the balls to pull the trigger." This next story is over 100 years old. It was published in 1904 by someone we mention a lot in this podcast. It's by the great short story writer, O. Henry. Soapy was a bum, but not a greedy one. He lived in New York back in the 1920s, when things were simpler and winters were rougher. One day, he found himself in Madison Square Park, just waking up from a nap on his usual bench, and a dead leaf fell in Soapy's lap. That was Jack Frost's way of announcing his arrival. Winter was coming. Like I said, Soapy didn't ask for much to survive winter. He didn't wish for cruises around the Caribbean, or even cozy winter cabins with a fireplace. No, all he craved was 3 months on the island. Roosevelt Island, to be exact. That's the small island between Manhattan and Queens in New York City, that in those times, it had a prison. Now, he had already spent many winters in jail, so he knew that there he'd be guaranteed to be warm, he'd have a bed, and a couple meals per day. And also, he'd be around interesting company all day long. Now, I know what you're thinking, why not just go to a homeless shelter? But Soapy knew that nothing came free in life. Every bed meant he'd have to wait in line to get it, and probably worst of all, he'd have to shower. Every charity meal means answering 21 questions from whoever it is that's giving him the meal. No, this was too much for Soapy. He preferred to be a guest of the law. His goal now was to get thrown in prison for the winter, and Soapy was a pro at petty crime, so he knew there were many pleasant ways to do this. The most pleasant of all would be to dine at a nice restaurant and get arrested once they found out he had no money to pay. The judge in court would handle the rest. Soapy was confident in how he looked from the waist up. He had an okay suit jacket and a shirt that he had swindled from a thrift store. He just had to sneak in without anyone looking at his raggedy pants and shoes. So he walked up Broadway and into a nice restaurant. But the head waiter got a look at his pants, and soon there were two pairs of hands escorting him outside. So he kept walking up Broadway until he came upon a home goods store with lots of lights and shining stuff in the window. He grabbed the heavy stone that he found nearby and he chucked it against the glass, breaking it with a big shattering noise. Soon, a crowd of people came over, with a cop being the first. Soapy just stood there, smiling, with his hands in his pocket. The cop asked, "Where's the man that did this?" And Soapy, smiling, said, "Don't you think that maybe I had something to do with it, officer?" The cop looked him in the face, then started laughing. Cops know that a guilty man doesn't stay on the crime scene. They run. The cop then saw a man down the street running to catch a car, and with his billy club in hand, started to chase that man. Soapy had now failed twice. Soapy saw another restaurant, but this one much less fancy than the last one. He went in, no problem. He sat down, he ordered beefsteak, flapjacks, donut, and pie, and ate it all. And when it was time to pay, Soapy broke the news that he and Cash were total strangers. "Now get busy and call a cop," said Soapy. The waiter replied, "No cop for yous." 1 minute later, Soapy was being thrown by two big waiters onto the cold, hard, painful pavement outside, left ear landing first. Soapy was now desperate. He walked 5 blocks. He saw a pretty young lady standing by a store window, and 2 yards away, a serious-looking cop. Everything that he needed for a harassment charge. He got close to the young lady and said, "Hey there, pretty young thing. Don't you want to come and play in my yard?" After a moment, the woman turned to face Soapy, tugged his sleeve, and said, "Sure, big guy. For the right price, I'll show you a good time. I'd have spoken to you sooner, but the cop was looking." And she pulled him to walk together away from the scene. Strike number 4. They walked to the corner, and then he ditched her. He went by himself to Times Square walking, where all the well-dressed men and women were going to go see their Broadway shows. And in front of a nice theater, he saw a cop lounging by the ticket window. He got his next big idea. He would get arrested on disorderly conduct. On the sidewalk, Soapy began to yell drunken gibberish at the top of his harsh voice. He danced, howled, raved, and disturbed the whole area. The policeman just stood there. And Soapy heard him say to a guy next to him, "It's one of them Yale grads celebrating the shutout that they gave to Hartford College. Noisy, but no harm. We have specific instructions to leave them be." Soapy left and at a store tried to steal an umbrella from a well-dressed man, but the man got scared and walked away, doing nothing. "It's gonna be a cold winter on that park bench," was all he could think. He started walking back towards Madison Square, towards that cold bench. and on an unusually quiet corner, Soapy stopped in front of an old church. He could hear sweet organ music being played inside. It put him in a trance. This was a beautiful moment, and all of a sudden, Soapy started to repent for the way his life had turned out. He felt a strong wave of motivation, and in that instant, he decided to become a better man. Tomorrow, he'd go to find work. He knew a guy that had offered him a job as a truck driver. Things will change. He would... Soapy felt a hand laid on his arm. He looked quickly around into the face of a policeman. "What are you doing here?" asked the officer. "Nothing," said Soapy. "No loitering allowed," said the policeman. "Come along." 3 months on the island, said the judge in court the next morning. We'll finish things off with a quick joke we'll call simply the burglar. A burglar broke into a home and was looking around for stuff to steal. He heard a soft voice say, "Jesus is watching you." Thinking it was just his imagination, he continued his search. Again, the voice said, "Jesus is watching you." He turned his flashlight around and saw a parrot in a cage. He asked the parrot if he was the one talking, and the parrot said, "Yes." He asked the parrot what his name was, and the parrot said, "Moses." The burglar asked, "What kind of people would name a parrot Moses?" The parrot said, "The same kind of people who would name their pit bull Jesus." So you see, we're foolish when we say things like, "Crime doesn't pay." Oh, it pays all right, especially for the person committing the crime. But it pays in negative and often ironic ways. If what they say is true, that behind every great fortune lies a great crime, then I say behind every great crime lies a great payback. Thank you guys so much again for tuning in this week. This was episode 2 of the second season of Rendition. I put a lot of work and effort into these, so I hope you're enjoying it. And if you are enjoying these episodes, I ask you to please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It goes a long way towards helping the show get noticed by even more great listeners like yourself. Again, I'll see you here next week. This has been another episode of Rendition. I'm Alex Cespedes. Thanks again.